This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're joined now by Paul DeJong, who came over for Washington's infield improvement and power improvement. He's going to provide some pop. Hit 24 homers last year, more than anybody in the organization did at the big league level. And it looks like he's fought his way right to the top of the depth chart at the hot corner and could be an opening day starter for Washington. First of all, thanks for a few minutes.
Good to meet you, and great to be here.
Thank you so much. It's awesome to chat with you. Been watching you play for many, many years now, dating back to 2017 in St. Louis. And your game, well, I'm sure year by year you would say changes some. I mean, you're here to chew bubble gum, make plays defensively, and hit bolts.
Hit a couple nukes.
It must feel fun when you get a hold of one and you hit it like 427.
Absolutely. When you hit a home run, you obviously don't feel anything. That's the beauty of those wood bats in the sweet spot. You get blown up by a sinker and break your bat, you're going to feel it for a couple innings. So it's kind of the opposite. If you don't feel anything, yeah, it was maybe a good swing.
So much shortstop, easy for me to say, in your career. I think it's underrated how hard it is to go from middle infield to third, where, you know, when you're a little bit deeper in the middle infield spots, everything can be moving forward. You can work your feet a little bit. Over there, sometimes it's just survival. You're like a hockey goalie. Then you have to kind of restart your feet. You're pretty damn good over there for not having done it as much. How hard is that transition? And I guess I'll stay with that. How hard is that transition? And also, why are you so good at it early?
Yeah, so at shortstop, you're not changing your depths as much as third base. That's one of the biggest things. At third base, you're moving in and out a little bit more, and like you said, less reaction time. But this year, I want to try to play a little deeper. I want to try to play more like a shortstop. So I think, you know, when I was drafted as a third baseman, it was new to me. I kind of was stuck in the mud a little bit. And then I moved to shortstop with St. Louis for a while. And that now going back to third base, I feel like I can play third base more like a shortstop. And I think that helps me footwork-wise not to get too stuck.
As far as the offensive approach, you know, with the 24 homers and coming over to a team that was second to last in big league home runs last year with, I think, 135, is the idea, like, let's air this thing out and let's just hit bolts because that's what they need? Or can it? Is it not that simple?
If it was that simple, everyone would push that button. But for me,
just do that real quick.
But I mean, from an approach standpoint, not a result.
Right, yeah.
Like, do you say, if I can hit home runs, we're a better team? Or do you have to still think hit tool and gap to gap? Like, how does that go?
Yeah, I think the power for me is always there as far as a result of a good swing and just my natural ability. The thing for me is going to be to cut down on strikeouts and get on base more, because that's really what's valuable, especially with this team that doesn't strike out, puts the ball in play, can run. So I think, you know, adding that good mix of hitting the ball out of the ballpark and also having a good approach to pass the baton is where the strength of this team comes in, with guys that can run, guys that put the ball in play, you know, a kind of a dynamic lineup now from top to bottom. I think it's a little bit more like, okay, let me just do my part. You know, last year with the White Sox, at times it was like subconsciously maybe I had to do more than I should have, and that got me in swing mode, that got me in trouble. Yeah, I still slugged, but, you know, I wanted to get on base a little bit more this year.
Paul DeJong of the Nationals, likely to start at third base on opening day, joining us on Grant and Danny. You mentioned the White Sox. You Cardinal and in NLCSs and playing in these big series and big postseason games. And now as a 31-year-old, what was last year like playing on a team like that one where you take it so seriously, but you hear it, you see it, you guys are being joked about, like, and you're grinding every day, putting in 15 hours or whatever. Mm-hmm. Is that wear on you? Like, what was that like?
Yeah, so I had nothing bad to say about any of the guys in that clubhouse. I thought we had a good group. I thought we cared about each other. It just came down to the little details of the game that we didn't quite dominate, and that's the difference in winning and losing in the big leagues. It's one play late in the game, early in the game, doesn't matter. It's about winning one-run games, and I thought that's where we struggled last year, and eventually it became kind of a here we go again, and that's a tough cycle to break. So, like I said, I don't have anything bad to say about anyone that was on that team. It's just, it just shows you how hard it is to win in the big leagues and how little things matter.
What brought you here? Like, was it, the opportunity? Was it, sort of a kind of perfect marriage, perfect fit, perfect timing? Or was it, something else? Just how did it come about you came here?
This was a team that I wanted to play for going into the offseason. I'm local here. I live here in Jupiter in the offseason, so I get to stay at home in spring training, which
nice.
Is beautiful. And, I heard great things. I knew about the staff and how much playing experience they had. Obviously I played against them in 2019 in the NLCS, and we got absolutely railroaded. What a great team they had. DC was always just a great place to go as a visitor. I love the city. And then it came down to opportunity and timing for me to sign here, and I'm actually really thankful that I couldn't imagine being anywhere else, really.
For you of late now, after all the years in St. Louis, you've had to fit into different clubhouses in short order for quick periods of time. Number one, I just want to talk about your goals of maybe setting up shop here and being here for an extended period of time and what that would mean for you and your career. But then also, what's that like in terms – it's almost like I would imagine a student transferring around. But just in the clubhouse and on the field, being the best version of yourself when every org's asking for something a little different. Mm-hmm. And I want to say it's now 5 over the last couple of seasons for you.
Yeah, so the first time leaving St. Louis, I pretty much spent my whole 20s in St. Louis. I turned 30 on my first day in Toronto after getting traded. And that was a pretty shocking experience for me. I didn't think I handled it too well, but as time moved on, I was able to learn from that experience. And one thing I would say is that, I tried to learn everybody, learn everyone's, and I just kind of neglected maybe my own preparation and focus, which is what makes me a good player. So, getting traded last year from the White Sox to the Royals, I was able to approach things with a kind of a day-by-day approach as opposed to trying to bite it all off in one day. And I think that really helped me to play better and to develop those relationships naturally that take time.
Well, it's nuts. I remember you coming up as a kid, 23, second in Rookie of the Year voting, such a sensational rookie year. And you blink, and now you're in your 30s.
I know.
You're like a grown-up, Like, talk about, A, that evolution, just how fast it all goes. But now there's a young core here, and I got to imagine there's some mentorship opportunity and, hey, man, I was there, and now I'm here kind of a vibe that you could bring. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I've had the privilege of playing with some all-time greats, Yadier Molina, Wainwright, yeah. Paul Goldschmidt, Arenado, Pujols for a stint. So I learned a lot from those guys, and I've been able to share a few things, just little details of the game, sharing some experience of my shortstop play with some of the shortstops here, being able to see it from third base. I can, just fit in where I can fit in, and I think guys – appreciate that, and I know the staff is pretty loose as far as letting us play, and that's a good thing, but there's always room for improvement. I'm still learning, but I want to be able to share my experience as much as I can when I can.
Paul DeJong on Grant and Danny, a special Nats installment of a Sunday show here on The Fan. We're at West Palm Beach getting ready for a couple spring training games today. Talking with one of the new additions who's expected to be in the opening day starting lineup. For you, give me something you like and don't like, maybe, about changes in baseball over your career now. And I don't want to act like you've been in the league for 15 years, but the game changes at an unbelievable pace. Maybe it's philosophical, like what was okay then and isn't now, but what's something you kind of think was a good change since 2017 and something about the game that's changed that you go, either didn't work out for me or I just don't love that as much?
Yeah, I would say the good things I like are the clock. No one wants to play four-hour games. I think we've all adjusted. I don't think I've ever gotten a clock violation, and I don't think there's ever been a clock violation against the pitcher while I was up. So that's been a total wash for me, which is good because you never want that to affect the game. One thing I've noticed, and it's kind of like you have to control yourself, is with the iPads in the dugout. being able to process the information but not get totally lost in that iPad. I think some of the younger generation, they can be a little dependent on the iPad, like, as opposed to the kind of when I got called up, we didn't have really all that stuff. We actually could go in the video room, but some teams.
It's like saying VCR now. The video room.
Yeah, exactly. What's a DVD? Netflix was in the mail.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest thing is being able to control what you put your focus on, and being able to use the tools properly, but not get totally lost in them.
It's funny. We talk about this with the pitchers a lot, where with Jim Hickey or something, they'll say, like, oh, let me go look at this. Okay, I had this vertical break and I had this. And they're like, oh, that was a good pitch. And it's like, but you just saw it. You just threw it. You know, like, that's kind of what you're talking about, where maybe the at-bat or the swing, or you're looking at the iPad, and it's like there's a little feel to this too.
Yeah, and I think you have to be able to feel things as opposed to just seeing them. You know, like when you're looking on an iPad, you're not really thinking about your feelings. You're watching the details of how did my load look, where was that pitch. Like, really, you need to ask yourself, was it a good pitch to swing at, and was I on time? And then if you can say yes to both of those, then maybe you start diving into your mechanics. But a rush mentality, or little things that happen in the game can cause your mechanics to break down, and that's totally natural. So it's not necessarily a trend. You're not swinging bad. It's like, okay, what conditions led to that bad swing? What was my mindset? What was my emotional state? You know, that all that stuff needs to be taken into consideration, which you will not find on the iPad.
But the flip side of that, what have you incorporated since you first came up, when it was like, what did it feel like in there, son? And like in between tobacco spits. Now you've got some more data, right, where you can learn about yourself, and maybe what you can go, I didn't know I did that really well, or maybe the thing that I like doing is not maybe the best thing for me. What have you started to incorporate?
I think the biggest thing for me is on the scouting side, being able to watch certain guys, using the heat maps. Okay, this guy throws his slider off the plate a lot, so that tells me where I need to look for this pitch. Or this guy throws four seams up out of the zone late. And then you start looking at yourself, like, what are my tendencies? What do I chase? What do I swing at? And these are the reports the pitchers and the pitching coaches are looking at before the game to decide how to get me out. So learning myself through the data has allowed me to know, okay, where are my strengths? Where should I look for the ball? And then just a matter of going out there and doing it. And it's not going to be perfect, but at least having a plan through the data is what will allow the best success.
Paul DeJong of the Nationals, two quick ones before we let you go. One, give me a guy, just as someone who's now been around the big leagues and probably could be on a coaching staff when it's all said and done, like, who just his games impressed you, or you're like, damn, I didn't know about that in this camp.
I would say James Woods' oppo power. I got to see a couple oppo bombs, one on deck and one from the dugout. Just the easiness of him, of his swing, and the long levers, and his just raw ability. But I love his mindset too. He's relaxed. Nothing's speeding him up, and I think that's what makes him such a great player.
And the other one, you played with Pujols. Albert managed in the Dominican series this year, and is actually going to manage the Dominican team in the WBC. I was talking to someone the other day who said, like, there's a chance he could be a manager in the big leagues in the next year or two. The only reason that's interesting to me is, like, Hall of Famers and guys of that level, that doesn't really happen. I don't know if they don't want to, or maybe they're not as good a coach.
Do what I did.
Yeah.
Just do that.
Everyone seems to – that played with him is like, this makes perfect sense. Like, do you get that sense too?
Yeah, Cardinal legend, Cardinal great, all-time player, Hall of Famer. He has that ability to relate to guys, his positivity, his enthusiasm. I think he'd be a great manager, and I think he's a good educator too. Like, and he also has good work habits. So it's like he's putting all these things together that, you know, kind of reminds me of being around Yachty and Pujols. Like, you want to be better because you're around them, and I think that's what inspires players to be the best version of themselves, is to be around greatness like that.
Paul, this is awesome. Good to get to know you, man. And do you know your brew rating for pickleball? Do you know it off the top of your head or no?
What is it, like, out of, like, 3-0 or 4? What is it, like, tennis?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. He put me in the 2.5, I guess.
Oh, no way. You're a big leaguer, dude. You're mid-threes at least.
Thank you for the
Thank
time.
You, buddy.
Yeah, thanks,
He
guys.
Said pickleball earlier when he came over.
And I came sprinting.
Danny started sprinting away and interrupted his conversation.
Fastest I've moved
started,
in months.
Started, like, asking a bunch of questions. Like, do you want to play on Wednesdays? I live not far from the ballpark.
Keep him behind the smash line.
That was Paul DeJong live from spring training in West Palm Beach, Florida, with Grant and Danny. We are done for the day. Capitals hockey is up next on these airwaves. Ovechkin looking for the record. Caps looking for like their millionth win in a million games. They're awesome. Got a chance to clinch a playoff spot tonight. Be the first team in the NHL to do so. We broadcast from Tap Sports Bar today. We'll be there tomorrow as well, 2 to 6:30. Come hang out with Toby and myself, watching tournament games, eating fried food, having a grand old time. It's beautiful. It's awesome. Today was a blast. Appreciate everybody back in studio. Darris and everyone making us sound good on the radio. We'll be back at it at 2 tomorrow, as I said. We will talk to you then. Enjoy the tournament and the Capitals tonight.
Thank you for coming.